So a pretty important decision from the Supreme Court yesterday. It narrowed the definition of a law called the Honest Services Law. The case was involving Enron chief Jeffrey Skilling, who is behind bars and was partially prosecuted under this Honest Services Law. It's a 28-word law passed in 1988. The ruling was important from the Supreme Court, and it calls into question a lot of prosecutions, including the charges against former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich and Joseph Bruno, one of the most prominent politicians in New York. Joining us now is Robert Plotkin, a partner at McGuire Woods, and he heads their SEC Enforcement Defense Group. He joins us from Bethesda, Maryland this morning. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
Explain this Honest Services Law, what the premise is, and how the court really sort of decided to put the hammer down on it.
Well, the premise of it is that an employee, whether it's a public official or a private employee, must provide honest services to the employer. And the problem with that is that it's such a broad and sweeping statement, it's very difficult to know exactly what it covers and what it doesn't cover. I mean, arguably, it could cover something like leaving work early or spending too much time on your email or private phone calls, be denying your employer of honest services. And so the challenge to that for years has been, what does this mean and exactly what does it encompass? And I think the Supreme Court finally agreed yesterday that it was too broad, and they chose to limit it to issues where the employee is accused of bribery or accepting kickbacks, as opposed to anything else that might be very amorphous.
And charges like bribery and kickbacks involve specific smoking guns, evidence that's absolutely straightforward. Hold on for just a second, because we spoke with the Harvard Law professor Charles Ogletree about the Honest Services Law, and he said, yes, it's too general, and that it really takes a weapon away from prosecutors, but there are still plenty of weapons left.
We have a lot of weapons to prosecute people for committing crimes, but we can't expand them beyond any sensible measure, and that's exactly what it's about. It's not about the person. It's about a well-intentioned but misguided effort to characterize innocent business judgment as criminal conduct worthy of being prosecuted and sent to jail.
Let's talk about the innocent business judgment, Robert Plotkin, that Charles Ogletree refers to there. I mean, Jeffrey Skilling, you know, we wouldn't want to describe him necessarily as innocent. And, you know, he made lots of money sort of cooking the books over there at Enron on other matters. But as far as this law is concerned, basically prosecutors tried to characterize his exaggerations and style of doing business as a form of fraud because it didn't meet the expectations of his clients and investors, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So, first of all, how are laws going to get at these kinds of things? Or is this a domain, and the Supreme Court maybe ruling yesterday gives us some insight, is the Supreme Court saying, you can't even go here. Business is business. Kickbacks, that's something else.
Well, I think that's right. I think that's what the tension is here is, you know, you're talking about very complicated and complex business decisions. People, as long as they're acting in good faith and trying to make them for reasons that generally would adhere to the business's values and try to have some positive results for the business. I think the idea is that business people should not be subjected to criminal prosecution in the event that they guess wrong, and that there's got to be some profit motive and some personal gains that results to them before they can be prosecuted for that.
You know, a lot of the prosecutions that come out of the financial meltdown, and they're currently in court, I don't know if they're actually under the Honest Services Law, but they look at this general domain of what you said to one investor versus what you said to someone in the office, and if there's an irreconcilable difference between those two, it's grounds for fraud. Do you think this decision yesterday calls all those cases into some more question?
No, I really don't. I think that those would be more traditional kinds of fraud cases, and exactly the kind that Professor Ogletree was talking about when he said we have laws for these other sorts of things. I think what many of the defense bar have thought of is that this Honest Services Act has been something that's so much like piling on or throwing in as additional charges to make the job of the prosecutor easier. rather than being the sole basis for which these crimes could be based on.
Of course, I'd love to get a prosecutor's view of all this. I mean, this is a major tool that comes out of the toolbox here. You're part of the defense bar, as you've honestly disclosed to us. But what if I would say to you, oh, come on, you guys are all looking for ways to hide your fraud, and the honest services law is really the only way for us to get at people who maybe there's no smoking gun, but we know what they did.
Well, I think there's two answers to that. One is I do think that there is an array of other tools in that same toolbox, and that generally those kinds of things would be available. And to the extent that there may not be something available, there's no prohibition against Congress reenacting an Honest Services Act that is more carefully defined and speaks more clearly as to what the potential act might be.
Well, let's go back to Charles Ogletree again, who actually agrees with you that prosecutors, okay, maybe they're losing this, but they definitely still have, some options there in the toolbox.
They have an enormous amount of weapons. They have conspiracy weapons. They have fraud weapons. They have things like wire fraud and interstate transportation of issues. They have an endless list of resources available. And I think every now and then the court, and this is a conservative court, has to say, this won't work. You can't do this. And I think that is the message to come from this. It's not about skilling. It's about a prosecution of individuals around the country.
Robert Plotkin, this doesn't exonerate Jeffrey Skilling. Is that the fair takeaway here?
That's a fair takeaway. He has to go back to court and prove that his conviction on honest services infected or tainted the rest of the decision against him by the jury, and that could be hard to do.
Grisham could probably not even come up with this irony, that Jeffrey Skilling's case takes down the honest services law. Don't you love that?
There is a great irony there, yes.
Robert Plotkin, a partner in McGuire Woods. He heads their SEC Enforcement Defense Group, talking about the strike down of the Honest Services Law by the Supreme Court yesterday in the Jeffrey Skilling Enron case.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.